Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. A little bit more Mike Tomlin on the guy we're going to hear talk in a couple hours, Aaron Rodgers, as he makes another trip to, what do they call that island again that encompasses Ireland and England? Doesn't it have a fancy name?
The Emerald Isle?
Well, I just said that, the British Isles, yes.
But don't the Irish hate that because they're not British?
Well, part of the Irish people are British.
Northern Ireland, but that's a whole
Rory McIlroy.
That's a whole thing, man. There's
a big thing.
The troubles.
Yes. Absolutely.
We don't need to give a history lesson here.
You too Bechtel used to sing about that.
Bechtel doesn't. So did the Cranberries. Bechtel doesn't even know any of this exists because he doesn't know where Ireland is.
So did Chumbawamba.
Oh my goodness, British anarchists.
Yeah. So Rodgers is going to do this again. Last year he did the same thing. He went over to England and played Minnesota, and it did not go well for him. Went horribly, actually. Which I don't want to make that the focus of this conversation. I want to instead talk about what Mike Tomlin said regarding Aaron Rodgers' start to a Steelers career. He gave it the double thumbs up. He gave it two A-OK, absolutely good, I love what I see endorsements. And even though Aaron Rodgers was a harsh critic of himself in the Patriots game, I will say, it speaks to the Hall of Fame standards that at 41 years old, a guy says he played like crap when he made a game-winning touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter to seal it for the Steelers. And I have to confess that three games in, Aaron Rodgers has been much better than I thought he would be. I did not think the Steelers were going to have a very good offensive line. And I thought that that offensive line was going to make Aaron Rodgers look really, really bad. He's been able to overcome that for the most part through three games. He's had no help from the run game, and he's been able to make the Steelers' offense at times look functional. It did against the Jets. It did early in the Seattle game. It did early in the Patriots game and then rallied late. So he's exceeded my expectations. Tomlin was bullish on Rodgers. That's why he waited around for a 41-year-old quarterback to sign. I thought this was going to look like Joe Namath in a Rams uniform or Johnny Unitas playing for the Chargers, Chris. And three games in, I think Aaron Rodgers has, to some degree, quieted critics like myself.
I should have had this stat pulled up earlier, but I'm going to try to do it right now on the fly because it won't be tough. The vibe I'm getting from him, and you have to try to separate it from the offensive line, is, and granted, this is going to, if this happened, it would be less yardage, and the touchdowns and interceptions, I feel like, would end up right around where they should be. It feels like Colts Phillip Rivers a little bit.
Clearly, that guy got them to the quarterback.
No, I know.
I mean, got them to the playoffs and then retired to become a high school football coach and
have
more
kids.
Kids.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that when I say that, when I make it that comparison, a clearly diminished version from whatever peak Phillip Rivers looked like. He was never fast, but old Phillip Rivers was slow as molasses. Still had a pretty good arm, but he just wasn't that version of Phillip Rivers. You'd agree, right?
Yes, that still was not good enough for the Colts to win a playoff game, by the way.
But it was a pretty solid quarterback. If you look at those numbers across the board, like, I think he was more good than bad.
Yeah.
He was not exceptional, but he was definitely more good than bad. That's kind of what I felt with Rodgers so far. One of his, really, you could say of his three interceptions, two probably don't exist if Calvin Austin doesn't do what he does. Because he's not pushing the ball downfield in desperation mode if they have an extra touchdown on the board. And maybe that game is just 24-24 or something. So that's one that Austin causes, then really two that Austin causes, and then he threw a yacker against the Patriots.
And he admitted as much. He owned it.
He didn't
throw a teammate under the bus for it or something like that.
What is unknowable about Rodgers right now, at least from my vantage point, is how bad does he want to take more aggressive shots down the field? And it's unknowable because he's still getting the ball out very quickly, but I think that's largely a function of not having still a trustworthy line in front of him. So it's hard for me to do a full eval, but it's been more good than bad. I thought he would give them their best quarterback play since they had 2018 Ben, probably. I don't know if he's on the track 2021 Ben was or 2020 Ben was.
Definitely not 2020 Ben.
But that almost gets thrown out the window for me too, just like Rivers here, actually, because it's the COVID year where it was easier to play offense. The numbers back all of that up. In a somewhat more defensive-minded NFL, I still think he's holding to that. I mean, he's better. Fields is already hurt. Russ got benched. We were laughing at Russ yesterday. So he's an upgrade, I think, over what they had last year. I think his just savvy and moxie and kind of ability to read what he's seeing from other defenses is going to automatically put him way ahead of Kenny and Mitch.
I don't think it's time yet for me. You can speak for yourself. I know you weren't as down on Rodgers as I was. You still weren't in love with it. I am not ready to give a full-fledged mea culpa apology, though, because it is three games. Three games into Russell Wilson's Steelers career, we were mostly acting like they had found a professional quarterback who had unlocked some things in their offense we hadn't seen in a while, until he didn't. Until he reverted back to the quarterback in Denver that Sean Payton screamed and yelled at and benched, and the guy in Seattle they were happy to rid themselves of and turn the things over to Geno Smith. So, yes, he has made me look bad through three games, but that's all it is. And is a 41-year-old going to get better as the season goes on, or is he going to get worse? With Ben, he got worse. With old Ben, Ben was leaking a lot of oil at the end. Ben was barely hanging on at the end. And I hope that this story doesn't get written the same way, because I have enjoyed watching him play. Crowley made a good point in the offseason that I didn't listen to and didn't agree with. He said Aaron Rodgers is going to make the Steelers more entertaining. I agree with that so far. He hasn't been nauseating. He hasn't said anything or done anything to really, like, piss me off. I think he's been a delight, actually, in some of these media settings where he gives you more honest answers. And
well, compared to Robot Russ, he's been like a breath of fresh air in that sense. I love my coaches.
Yeah, I've had a good time watching him play, and the Steelers have a winning record with him at quarterback. He's second in the league in touchdown passes. Only Lamar Jackson has more. I've got to be thrilled with that based on my expectations for him. He's 14th in passer rating. By that metric, that means he's above average.
Yeah.
Now, PFF thinks he blows. PFF thinks he should be benched, basically.
Well, they think he's coming off his worst game, which I actually agree with. I thought he was worse. I thought he was worse against, like, for the stuff he can control. I thought he was worse against the Patriots than he was against Seattle.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
You have to go back to what I just said about why the Austin interception. Yeah, happened,
I don't. But I don't feel like either game was a bad game per se.
His reputation has preceded him, and I still, let me put it this way: when a game got to 14-14 and they put a couple plays together on that game-winning drive, I found myself saying out loud in just like a crowd of people, hey man, I hope they go for the kill here because I think he can still do it. Like implicit in that statement is I think the guy can make it happen and he can. One thing that I have noticed about him, and I'm kind of feeling the reverse of you, like through three games, I don't want to spike the football and say he's clearly better than what they had last year because of what you just said about Wilson, but I feel good like it's heading in the right direction and if the line gets better, he's going to get better. You know what I have watched closely in these games? I've never brought it up on the air yet. When he gets hit and gets sacked, right, I've watched carefully. Does he look like an old, tired, haggard, beaten-up old guy getting up? No. You know what he looks like when he gets up after he takes a hit? Pissed off.
Yeah, like he wants to make sure shows everybody that he still got it and still
even,
ticking and still able
if,
to
Pony, I
withstand
don't even know,
the punishment and
no, no,
pain,
no.
Those things?
I don't think it's... No, I don't... Because what you're suggesting is that it's like a put-on. Like, I can't let... Like, when a boxer gets hit and they smile and then you know they're hurt because they're trying to pretend they're not... I just sense he's a guy that's like, no, I'm mad that my protection broke down or that this happened or that happened. I'm not sitting here going, wow, I am in deep pain. Like, this is too much. Anger after he gets hit rather than, you know, help me up, please, is a good thing.
So we had a question yesterday about Tomlin's record in one-score games and how do people you know, argue against that? How do the Tomlin haters argue that he's, you know, not a good coach when he has this sterling record in the nip and tuck games?
Mm-hmm.
Where does PFF get off saying that among guys who are starting in the NFL this week, Bo Nix is the only guy they have as a worse quarterback? Among guys that still have their job, that are still playing, that are starting on Sunday, they think Bo Nix is the only one who's worse. We don't have anything on Jackson Dart yet, so there are a couple of new faces that are getting thrown in there, but they honestly think Carson Wentz right now is better, and that just about everybody's better. Jake Browning in Cleveland, Penix, I mean in Cincinnati, Joe Flacco in Cleveland. So he's the worst quarterback in the division. He's the second worst quarterback in the AFC. He's worse than every NFC starting quarterback. Bryce Young.
Penix's team has, what, three touchdowns total?
Yeah. They got shut out by Carolina. Pro Football Focus thinks that guy is better than him.
They got Bryce Young basically identical. They do have him identical with C.J. Stroud.
Right. C.J. Stroud, who, like, the whole world is like, what's happened to this guy?
Spencer Rattler
better. I don't understand it. I get it. They go deeper than the stats. It's not just touchdown to interception ratio. We've all watched the first three games. We all know what bad quarterback play tends to look like.
I mean, they've only gotten graded with two. What's weird is they have them graded with five turnover worthy plays. I would imagine that is the main reason. That's one of the highest numbers in the league. Same number of turnover worthy plays, by the way, as Patrick Mahomes, yet Mahomes' grade is much higher. Like, not even close.
Donnie, what grade would you give Aaron Rodgers? I'd give him a B+. PFF's giving him an F through three games.
Yeah, I mean, I would go B+ or maybe even A-. I mean, he has been pretty good in all three games. Like, certainly not the reason that they've lost.
Do you agree with that, Chris, that he's been pretty good in all three games?
I don't. I mean, I thought...
I thought the Patriots game was mediocre. It was pretty bad in the middle.
Like, I've said...
But when he had to be good, he was good.
Well, I've said a Kenny Pickett game a lot because when Pickett would play games, a lot of the time we would have these lengthy debates because he would be good in short flashes of, okay, wow, this guy maybe can do it, and then he wouldn't for long
stretches. Kenny also didn't start games like Aaron Rodgers has, and he also wasn't electric and money in the red zone like Aaron Rodgers.
Now, does it worry either of you that it seems like it's gone down a little bit in all three games? Whereas Jets, he was great. You think Seahawks, he was decent, not the reason they lost. And Chris, at least for Chris, you think his worst game was New England.
It doesn't totally crush me, and I guess I'll go back to... It doesn't like have me on high alert because... To be fair to Pony's point going into the game, New England was getting after quarterbacks. They didn't sack him. And I think he was, to some extent, a victim, or he did not put up enough of a stink. When Mike Tomlin got up 14-0, I just remain convinced that the coach said, all right, let's put this car in park and just wait.
Let's win it with our defense.
Let's just put this car in park and wait for them to catch up to us so we can have a proper finish to this race.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for the fan versus the fans. Call in now and flex your intellectual muscle. 412-928-9370. Show the guys how much you know by stumping them with a trivia question that will bring them to their knees and cause their sports minds to explode.
Yeah, it's time for a little Rival Sports trivia with us. And call in to win a $25 gift card to the Rival. This actually works for both Fox Chapel Waterworks and then Collier Town Square, which I keep calling Bridgeville because I thought that was Bridgeville, but I guess it's Collier. You ever met anyone who just says, I'm from Collier?
Right? Oh, I have not. Sorry, Pony. No, I have not met anyone who just says,
I'm a Collier resident.
You think it's like Ireland against Northern Ireland? You think
there's some
battles there?
No, not like Collier Scott Township. No, we don't need to bring that in. But I used to do, when I lived in Carnegie, I would do a run, a route. Like, I would do a little jog, and I would call it, I'd touch all the random points of Carnegie where it hit, like, Scott or Collier Township, because it's very densely packed there. Mm-hmm. You could do, like a 3 or 4 mile run and be in 4 different townships from my front door. It's a very odd little section of the close suburbs, I'll call it.
All right. So let's make sure Malzie doesn't cheat like he did that time with Chuck in Uniontown, when Chuck had a real brain teaser and Malzie just immediately looked up the answer.
Wait, I didn't know this. Was I not in that day?
No. It was a Friday. You were out for high school football. And Chuck thought he had. He's like, who was the other, in addition to Al Oliver, member of the 1971 Pirates who hailed from the same town in Ohio? And Malzie, 2 seconds later, blurted out the answer because he had looked it up.
It wasn't my bet. Wasn't my finest hour.
Yeah,
for sure.
So we're going to make sure you don't do that here.
A little embarrassed.
You ask us the questions. That's why it's called The Fan Versus the Fans. You pick who you want to ask the question to, and if you stump that host, you will win the gift card. And you called in on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's begin with Jeff in Washington. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, Jeff.
Man, who do you want to ask your question to?
Pony, I'll ask you.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. When the Immaculate Reception play happened, what was the actual play call for that play?
Hold on. So Donnie and I have to be ombudsman here of this question. Do you mean, like, who was the play designed for, or what was, like, the technical football terminology call? Like, you know,
Actual play call.
So, like, a spider two-wide banana kind of thing is what you're looking for here.
Correct, right.
I'm staying out of this. You guys get to decide if you think that's a fair question or not. I'm not leading the witness at all. It's completely up to you two,
Donnie,
guys.
What's the one famous play call where it's like red right or something like that? You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's a play that's known by its call. This feels like it's pretty esoteric because I've watched that play a million times. Surprisingly, I've watched a lot of footage about that play. And I don't.
All right,
ever
I need you
remember.
Guys to render a decision right now.
I think
here
it's
so
too
we can move
esoteric,
this thing along.
Donnie. I think it's too in the weeds, personally. But I mean, think Pony knows it.
I'm trying to. Do you know it?
I'm not saying anything.
I think that's
him
the thing. I think he kind of wants us to say go for it because he's going to flex on us and get it.
Well, then if he knows it, then let's
right,
tell
let's
him to go.
It.
Well, hold on a second here. So your final answer is make me answer it?
Yeah, answer it,
Donnie.
Make him do it. It seems like you know the answer.
Yeah, make him do it.
I don't know the answer. So now Jeff has to tell us what the name of the play is.
It's a 66 circle option.
I'm going to put him on hold. Now you guys, the next thing you have to do is look it up to see if he's telling the truth about that. Because we have had some instances where people have called in and then we've fact-checked
the Immaculate Reception right there on Wikipedia. Head coach Chuck Knoll called a pass play, 66 circle option.
Yeah.
Intended for receiver Barry Pearson.
I don't think I've ever...
And that's right there in Wikipedia. If you just went to the Wikipedia for that play, you'd have it right there.
That's probably a bad job by us. I'm happy that Jeff asked it, that you guys didn't overrule it, and I'm disappointed in all three of us that we don't know that.
Man, how about Noel calling a pass play intended for a rookie playing in his first NFL game? You want to talk about possible misuse of players here? That'd be like calling the seasons on the line. You're calling one up for Roman Wilson here.
It's more than 50 years ago now, but it is the most well-known play in NFL history.
If it wasn't sitting our play, I
would say Jeff made a good call asking the question.
It's right there in the Wikipedia.
And I'm disappointed in me and other and you guys for not knowing it either. But mostly me, because I was the one that was on the hot seat there.
Donnie, here's the other one that I was thinking of. It's an infamous Cleveland Browns play from that Raiders game, Red Right 88, in the 80 playoffs, where Sipe throws an interception.
And that's known all around football. Brian Sipe in a game against the Raiders.
It's got its own Wikipedia page. Red Right 88.
All right.
Why it doesn't? I'm not beating the charges here that I remember more vividly a Cleveland Browns play, although it's an infamous one because they screwed it up. And
this
they
is
won.
The most famous play in football history.
I'm not beating the charges here, is what I'm saying.
I think my issue is I just don't. There are some things I don't care about, and so I don't retain it. And I guess I've never cared enough about the name of that play call to hear it and remember it.
It doesn't have, like, a funny name. That's the other part. Like, why does Gruden's... It's because Gruden is a psychopath, but Spider 2Y Banana just sounds funny. Right?
Like, I honestly don't know what's the technical term or play call of any play in NFL history. So I don't
like
know.
Like I said, I remember.
Do you know what the Santonio Holmes touchdown pass was called?
No, I remember stuff like Ghost to the Post with Dave Casper or the Immaculate Reception.
Yes,
I know the nickname. I know the nicknames that the plays
that everybody
have happened.
Knows. Yeah.
The Holy Roller, all that stuff. I think these play calls are by definition very like kind of jargony.
Donnie, do you think
sounding.
Your dad could have gotten that one right?
I don't think so.
But it's, you know what, though? The point is, it's a fair question because everyone uses Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And yeah, the fact that it
right
was found so
there.
Easily.
Yeah. It's right there.
Now, do we think that Jeff just looked that up, or do we think that he
what if he was
has had that
what if he was
to
like one of YouTube psychos, and he was just browsing along, looking at the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate
Reception. The Immaculate Conception.
Joseph called 66 circle option, and Mary was, no. And he just saw that. I think if he just saw it while he was browsing, doing what we all do, screwing around on his phone and saw it, I think
like
that's
it.
Fair. I think that's fair
Jeff,
game.
I think he earned it. Congratulations.
He absolutely earned it.
That is the spirit of this game. The most anticipated Penguins preseason game ever is happening Saturday in Pittsburgh. The ticket demand backs that up. You can't get in to PPG Paints Arena Saturday for less than around $100. They're going to play, I would even include their home opener in this. There's not going to be a more in-demand ticket the entire year with the Penguins than Saturday. Well, maybe Malkin's last game here.
Although he wants to come back, Pony.
If people start to get the sense he's done here, even if he wants to keep playing, then that would become the most anticipated game of the year. As far as preseason games go, there's never been anything like this. Usually you can't give these things away. Give them out for free. You leave two tickets on your car. You come back after the game. There's four there. One of those situations.
Yep.
And instead, people just want to see Marc-Andre Fleury one more time. They thought when he came back with Minnesota, and I was at that game with our good friend Hoagie, last fall, that was it for him. Instead, they brokered this deal. He's going to play one period. I would assume it's the first period.
What if he looks outrageously good? What if he's just absolutely like a brick wall?
Well, the other thing I was worried about is what if he looks like garbage? I mean, he's...
Presumably didn't train that much to do this.
Or is he like quietly, personally training on the side
to make
sure that
he does 20 more minutes for
goes out with a bang? Tyler Kennedy with us right now to talk about all that. Tyler, are you going to be there on Saturday?
Yes, I will be there on Saturday.
Will you have goosebumps?
No. No, I play with a lot of great players, and obviously Mark was one of them, but...
Will you tear up?
No.
No, I'm not that emotional. You know, again, he's had a great career. It was always a joy to be around, but... again, he's been gone a long time. And, you know, obviously him playing, like, one, bravo to the Penguins, because it's going to be a sold-out house for an exhibition game. So they're going to be doing so well. Whoever came up with this marketing and bringing them back and letting them play in an exhibition game is a genius.
I agree with that.
Do you think he approached them? Or
no,
they
he didn't.
Okay, he did.
Dubas went to him.
They went to him? Okay. Yeah. Didn't catch that.
Yeah, yeah, it's, again, it's a marketing genius idea. But, and I think him, like, he's played so long, like, he can take a whole summer off, and I think he's going to be pretty rock solid back there. I think it's a little bit different for a goalie. It all depends how many shots, and I would think all the big boys would be in the lineup, like Sid, Malkin, Tanger.
They have to be. Absolutely, 100%. Yes.
So they're gonna have a wagon. Hopefully, the other team dresses nobody, so that, you know, so it's a blowout, a feel good game for everyone.
TK, question for you: let's say Kyle Dubas calls you out of the clear blue.
Oh,
Tyler,
man,
you haven't played since 2016, but people want to see 48 back on the ice for one period of an exhibition game. They're putting you back together. You're going to be part of the best third line in preseason hockey. What happens out there if Tyler Kennedy goes out there now, almost a decade removed from his playing days?
Well, I think obviously I'm a little bit different story than Flower. I'm there to make the team, boys. I'm there to make a statement in that one game. I got about five shifts to make, like, hey, he can actually still handle it. It's a little
different.
Have
you heard the stories about Airy doing that at camp? Were you in those camps when Airy was just throwing his body at everything that moved?
Yeah, he came back and tried to play again. Yep.
No, I haven't, but that's what you have to do as an older guy trying to break into the league, because it's so young now that, like, you have to bring something that the new generation doesn't bring. But it seems like after watching all these highlights and all this stuff, like, there's a lot of fighting going on. There's a lot of, like, rough and tough, and the game's going back to a little bit of that, a little bit of a heavier game. A lot more guys are answering the bell. I think there's probably been, like, 10 preseason fights. Like, it's a very surprising preseason for all of the NHL. So if they called me back, boys, I might have to wear the little Cooper shoulder pads and try to make a statement out there.
That's a good one. I think that it's going to be one of those unforgettable nights, though, because he'll go out there, he'll lead the team onto the ice for warmups, he'll get a standing ovation then. Regardless of how the period looks when it's over, he's going to probably do a skate around the ice almost like he's got the Stanley Cup. And he's probably, Flower, going to take pictures with Malkin, Sid, and Letang one last time. And I don't care if the game doesn't count in the standings. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that, Tyler?
Well, one, if he has a good first period, I think he's telling the coaching staff, hey, let me run with this. Yeah, let me run. Let him play the game. Let him decide when he's done. I think this is going to be just say, hey, he's going to do one period so people don't expect too much. But I think he's going to play the whole game. And yeah, is it going to be like,
how loud will that place be if he actually has a shutout through 55 minutes and they're up 6-0? They're going to be treating every defensive shift or every
like
time
it's a game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Every time they're in their own zone, they're going to be treating it like when Orpik wiped out 6 Red Wings in one shift. That's what it's going to be like in there, TK, if you're right.
Who do they play?
Columbus.
Oh, Columbus has got to bring their B squad for sure. And the Penguins are going to be loaded up. They might bring Mario back.
This is the most consequential and meaningful game to the fans that they'll play all year.
I know it is.
It's not even close.
I hope it's not, but it probably will be.
It's not even close. It's going to be.
Hey, well, it definitely is probably the most memorable preseason game maybe ever, right?
Yes.
Bringing a guy like that back. But again, going back to the Penguins administration to, like, think of this idea in the summer and say, hey, we can make this work. Like,
TK,
this is unbelievable.
Are you surprised? Let me ask you this. This is kind of a weighty question a little bit here. Are you surprised at the arc that Fleury's career has taken? Because you were still with the Penguins when fans, and I don't even blame them for this, maybe for, like, the degree of nastiness and frustration that came out, but not because of performance. You were still there when they brought in Tomas Vokoun, when he ended up starting playoff games in that Isles series where you had a very big goal. I forget which game it was. And Fleury got benched. Like, are you surprised that his career arc has come back to this point where he's getting essentially a hero's send-off into retirement in front of fans that at one point wanted him run out of town about a decade and a half ago?
No, I think that's the nature of the business, boys. We both know we've had good days and bad days, and obviously Mark's, again, over the 20 years he's played, like, that's not that big of a deal when you look back, or that it's not that big of a, say, quote-unquote, a black mark on his career. It was maybe he struggled a little bit, but when you look at the body of work he's done and how he's treated people and how he played and everything he's done, like, there's no question, like, there's he's a Hall of Famer, and he was going to come back in some capacity to the Penguins. Again, he's so close with Tanger, Sid, Gino. Like, they had such a tight bond. Like, when you win, just winning one Stanley Cup, you have a bond. But when you win multiple cups with some of the guys in the city, meant so much. I'm like, and he came here when he was 18. Like, it's like a second home in his early years of his career. You know, like, this was what he called.
Talk him into moving back. We'd love to have him here.
Do you see the weather outside? Do you think this is a good sell, the weather? Rain?
It's not like, I don't think he lives in Malibu or South Beach. Doesn't he live up in Canada? Is it 75 and sunny every day there?
I'm not sure where he lives. I think that he's got to have a summer fall house somewhere. Nice.
He used to live in Moon when he was out here.
Really?
I knew that. He lived in Moon, of all places.
Right. He had a cool house, so he had a pretty sick house. It wasn't like he was living in a duplex, you know, like he had a mansion, you know.
All right, like, Tyler. Good stuff. We'll talk again next week after the game. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.